4:58. It's Thursday. It is Drop Your Pants 12. Oh, hey, Deep Eddie. How you doing?
Pretty good.
We have 2 hours to go in Drop Your Pants. There's still time to drop off your clothes, to help out the Cornerstone Clothes Closet. There is still time to hop on the GoFundMe and boost that thing even higher. We have passed the $51,000 barrier. We're so thrilled. Maybe let's try to get to 60. Let's keep going. Let's keep going, and then we won't pester you on this particular cause for at least 11 months. But right now, as we get into our Thursday routine, let's step down for this.
Entertainment news for you.
Brought to you by
the Good Feet Store and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is. Hi,
Dave. Thank you. Thank you. And as we do on most Thursdays, we are joined by the One True Muser, Gordon Keith.
Hey, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
As he finishes flushing whatever he was taking care of just now, he also has an exciting announcement about his multimedia experience tonight.
I do.
Or does he?
Yes, it is not happening tonight. It's on Tuesday nights, even though I had to miss this Tuesday.
Okay.
I have...
extremely haphazard as to when it happens, but it should possibly happen next Tuesday.
Sounds like you're as regular as a premenopausal woman.
Yeah, the... there's Corby with his menstruation humor because you're scoring at home.
Is that blood?
Yeah, life has gotten a little complicated, and so I'm having to deal with hitting raccoons and all kinds of crazy stuff in my car.
I feel like on Tuesdays he has it on Thursday, and on Thursdays he points to Tuesdays.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the raccoons, mm-hmm. I heard the end of this story. Ooh. I'm assuming you want to save this for tomorrow morning because it's an awesome story.
Is it an awesome story, or is it nothing but trauma?
Well, you tried to kill a raccoon, and it got stuck in your car.
No, I didn't try to kill a raccoon, and it gets stuck in my car.
It's like, did Tommy help you?
Who?
Tommy Daniels?
Yeah.
It was the raccoon in a crosswalk?
That is a 30-year-old Bob callback. You can't do that.
Three decades ago, Bob.
The ticket assassin who's always looking for a chance to end a life.
Was Tommy Daniels helping the raccoon cross the street?
That was such a great story.
Guided it right into your path.
Tommy, who we had him, he actually, what happened was he witnessed a woman named Gracie get hit by a car, who was an old woman that lived in his neighborhood who looked after Tommy. And
she actually lived in a shoe.
His siblings.
Sweet Gracie.
And by the time the rant had finished with the story, we had Tommy behind the wheel of the car, gunning it as soon as he saw Gracie, after getting the signal on the walkie-talkie system from his buddy.
Yes, he was like...
Who had lured her out into the center of the road with a basket of crochet material.
That's not what happened to the raccoon, though.
No.
That we know of.
No. The raccoon.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you want to share any bit of that story in the rant coming up next, you're welcome to. But if you want a package, that's totally acceptable because we understand that we are not your primary place of employment.
I will package the story of what happened to the raccoon. As of the end of the show today, the raccoon was still alive, still in the grill of my car. And we spent the better part of a couple hours handling the raccoon, and I will give the update at 6:15 tomorrow morning on
there
the Moral Musers.
All right.
You and Tommy have to get your story straight.
Yes, we're coordinating our stories right now.
Okay.
All right, let's get into some e-news. This probably is going to be controversial, very hot topic, so if you guys want to hands off. That's totally fine.
Okay.
But on a podcast called The Benny Show yesterday, Corey Lewandowski from the Department of Homeland Security, he confirmed that just days after Bad Bunny was announced as the Super Bowl halftime show performer, He confirmed that ICE agents will be on site at the Super Bowl and monitoring the halftime show.
What does that even mean?
He said there is nowhere you can provide safe haven to people who are in this country illegally. What? Not the Super Bowl and nowhere else. We will find you, apprehend you, and put you in a detention facility and deport you.
How many illegals are going to be on the field?
Yeah, so all the illegals who are going to spend $10,000 on Super Bowl tickets had better watch out.
Yeah. That's a credible threat.
Do they know that Puerto Rico is part of the United States?
They do not. Not a chance.
It's possible they don't.
Not a chance.
He also said that Bad Bunny's selection as halftime performer is shameful. It's shameful that they decided to pick somebody who seems to hate America so much.
Wait.
Snake.
Does he was just in Happy Gilmore 2. No, he doesn't. He has none. This is all a bunch of junk.
And he said, look, if there are illegal aliens, I don't care if it's a concert for Johnny Smith or Bad Bunny or anyone else. We're going to do enforcement everywhere because we're going to make Americans safe. So I don't know when the next Johnny Smith concert is, but
yeah,
it sounds like a hot show.
Again.
Yeah,
is he in the Smiths?
I think he got Johnny Marr and the Smiths confused.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he conflated the two.
Well, deport them while you're at it.
That sounds a little bit crazy to me, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's
a guy
real.
From America,
uh-huh,
is doing the halftime show,
uh-huh,
and we're going to make sure that we police that halftime show because of all the illegals. Uh-huh.
But he doesn't speak in English, so that's
it. Really
upsets
that's
the
him.
Hiccup yeah. there.
Okay, all right.
Huh? But that's why Bad Bunny said that he didn't tour the U.S. That's why he had his residency in Puerto Rico, because it's a U.S. territory. People from the U.S. could visit there and go to the shows and not have to worry about a passport. But he didn't have to worry about ICE raiding his shows.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Also, controversy. Have you been following the Riyadh Comedy Festival? The Saudi comedy washing?
No.
Weren't you going to that?
That's a long way for me, Bob. I don't think so.
So this is like a 2-week comedy festival. It started last week. It's going through
VIP.
The end of this week, I believe.
I thought Corby was performing at this.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's what we heard.
And so Dave Chappelle is over there.
Like, growing up and you don't have your inheritance yet. Don't y'all hate that?
It's so hard to grow up.
You're like, Dad, can't my trust fund kick in when I'm 17?
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway. I did it multiple times with my dad.
One time I was with this girl, and she said, do you know where you are? And it was like,
whatever.
And I was like, they're so close together. Who can keep that straight?
I was like, it's all pink on the inside.
Oh.
As an arrow flies through my head.
But when I pulled it,
it wasn't pink anymore.
You get it.
It got cooked in there or something.
Off.
Looked like
there were like grill marks on it.
Okay. Let's just let it go.
You hear that, Bob?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to Bad Bunny. What were we talking about?
No, the Riyadh Comedy Festival.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
Dave Chappelle, I guess, is over there now, and he made the comment during his show that it's easier to talk here than it is in America because of cancel culture. And Bill Burr, he I guess, was there for the first week, and so he just did his podcast this week. And he's defending his appearance. He said it was great to experience that part of the world and be part of the first comedy festival over there in Saudi Arabia. The royals loved the show. Everyone was happy. The people that were doing the festival were thrilled. He said, you think everybody's going to be screaming death to America and they're going to have an effing machete and want to chop my head off. But it wasn't like that.
I doubt he would have gone if he really believed that.
And he said it was just a great exchange of energy. They know their reputation, so they were extra friendly. And this is in the midst of David Cross, a fellow comedian.
Yes.
he made a public statement blasting all of these comedians who are taking the payday and comedy washing. He says, "I'm disgusted and deeply disappointed in this whole thing." And he singled out Burr and Chappelle and Louis C.K., saying that they've forfeited the right to complain about censorship or cancel culture in the U.S. by participating in this festival.
So the Saudis understand non-English?
What is non-English?
Whoa. Like, is that English when you're holding up a piece of naan to your mouth?
Yeah. What does Vinny Pascatino and Bobby Witt and their opinions have
Bringing
to do with
it back to sports!
Good question.
She also dated Saudi Prince Khalid bin Bandar, bin Sultan al Saud.
Thank you, EA.
Thank you.
Bobby Witt's a ranger.
And Burr, his final thought, he says, people are cool. Governments are the problem.
Yeah.
That sounds like something Corby
would say. It does. Something Corby. Governments are mean.
And a student body.
Governments
president.
Chop your head off. People let you get baked at their house.
You ever gotten
and
baked
watch
at someone's
football.
House, Corby?
What?
You ever gotten baked at someone's house?
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah,
some
yours.
Episode where you were
so
like,
don't even act like that. It's a thing. So shut up.
Shirtless and playing bongos somewhere. Isn't that you?
Yeah.
The feud between Cardi B and Nicki Minaj has heated up once again this week because Cardi has a new album coming out, Am I the Drama? And so Nicki Minaj decided to mock it on social media.
Why are they mad at each other?
I don't know.
I thought they liked each other.
I don't know.
But did they not do...
What?
WAP together?
Hot dog.
That was Megan Thee Stallion and...
You get them all confused.
Cardi B?
I get them all confused.
Are you,
They're all basically the same to me.
Black
That's
girl, right?
called equality.
Right, Corby.
I don't judge them when their booties clap. I look at them all the same.
They're all equally offensive to me.
Anyway, Nicki Minaj called Cardi B, who is now pregnant. I guess she's pregnant with her fourth kid.
Mm-hmm.
Called her Barney Dangerous.
Ooh.
And she was rewriting one of her songs, Magnet, and using made-up lyrics to mock her. You want to hear some of them?
Go on.
Uh-oh.
Do you need a beat?
Should I do it as Nicki?
So wait.
Uh-oh.
So Cardi B is having the child with Offset.
No, she's having the child with Stephon Diggs.
That's right. It was Offset.
Oblique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rhymes go, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, surgery to look like me. Tell the rat and tell Jay-Z, RICO fraud and perjury.
Not bad.
And then another one, falling off the charts with a big belly, running trains, barefoot, still smelly.
God.
Still you could not outsell me. Yeah. And then to her her defense, Cardi said, nothing more annoying than a bored bitch. So...
They should all be friends. Like
they,
us.
They should be friends.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a friendly rivalry with the Musers, but yet we have a Muser on our show.
Right.
All right, last thing, real quick, also in the music realm, kinda. So this is making the rounds as Courtney Cox is 61.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had some work done, but she still looks pretty good, I guess.
She's had work done.
Did she have work done?
But her latest hobby is playing the drums. That she has gotten a drum kit and she has it set up in her living room, and she has been posting videos of herself playing along to tracks. And so this is what she posted this week, her playing along to Smells Like Teen Spirit. So you guys critique Courtney Cox's drum skills. On beat for the most part.
What do you think, Ham?
Better than Bob's. Yeah, I saw this yesterday. It's pretty good.
Better than Bob, but really hurtful thing to say.
So, do we know how long she's been playing?
Just like in two.
Yeah, I don't know how long she's been playing, but I think it is a relatively new passion of hers. And she does, I mean, she has good posture. She looks like she kind of knows what she's doing.
Good for her, man. See, it's never too... My uncle or cousin learned how to play the flute when he was 70. Mark okay, that.
The skin flute?
Yeah, Dave, he played the skin flute.
So a guy that's accomplished that much, and you haven't gone to the trouble of learning whether or not he's your cousin or your uncle.
They all look the same.
Or he's both.
They're all non-me.
There's so many non-me's at Thanksgiving. I can't keep track. How can you tell the difference?
I was at this store, and some non-me walked up. Good story.
All right, coming up next, the rant, and we've been talking about it all week, but we have to talk about it with Gordon.
South Lake.
The Ticket. Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
It is 5:20. It is Thursday from the Ticket Hovel at Drop Your Pants 12. It is the Rant Revival. It is Thursday, and we are here with all of our friends. Includes the original three horsemen of the rant. Genix Davy Lane. Corby the Snake Davis. Not Corby. And of course the host. Gordon. Here they are. Your heroes.
What a treat. So I know, Gordon, you guys have been talking about it a lot, and we have too, but... Sponsored by the way.
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
But yeah. This story, this South Lake sex story, sex scandal that involves a New York financier, a billionaire financier, hundreds of millions he may be worth, and a woman who moved to South Lake here in the last couple of years, acting as his high-level pimp, is one of the most fascinating local stories I can remember. And Taylor, yeah. I texted to Dave immediately. I go, dude, this is the rant dream.
Yeah, this is, we wouldn't have talked about it so much, but George seems endlessly fascinated with this story.
Yeah, he wants to know what exactly was in the red room and kind of compare notes.
He's obsessed with it. I mean, he's, what kind of spanking equipment they got? They got a St. Andrew's cross in there? What do they got? Spanking bench?
A spanking bench.
Is it an adjustable bench or just a...
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Then he did the cocky sniff.
All right, so we've talked about it a couple times on Community Quick Hits. They've talked about it on the Musers. But if you are just now getting up to speed, Jennifer Powers is a 45-year-old mother of three. And as Corby said, they moved to South Lake back in 2020. They're originally from Texas, Jennifer and her husband. But in 2011, they had moved to Manhattan to work for Howard Rubin. And he is a very famous money manager on Wall Street. And so she, yesterday morning, was in court in Manhattan pleading not guilty to charges that she helped him run a sex trafficking scheme for roughly a decade. Mm-hmm. And after the hearing yesterday, she was put on an $850,000 bond and ordered to stay on house arrest in her five-bedroom, $1.3 million South Lake home. And she has been fitted with an ankle monitor and is barred from having any contact with Ruben or any potential witnesses. But oh, yeah. Not only that, she and her husband are now implicated in tax evasion charges because they failed to report more than $9 million that Ruben has paid to cover their kids' school, their mortgage, their credit card bills over the last decade. So her husband, Steve Powers, who is a DJ, evidently.
Vague. Like a wedding DJ?
Who knows? Who knows? But they allegedly filed false tax returns and failed to mention any of these funds that they got from Ruben. They got married.
He's a DJ on 93.3, our sister station.
No, he's not.
93.3 doesn't have DJs anymore. That's WBAP-FM.
They run the BAP feed.
So Steve and Jennifer got married in 2012 at the Versace Mansion.
No way.
Yes, and their wedding was featured in Wedding Style magazine. So you can imagine how expensive that wedding was, and I imagine Howard Rubin
paid
the bill for all of that. So during the time that she worked for Rubin, she was instrumental in finding the women, generally through Instagram and DMs, flying them to New York, and then her boss, Rubin, would abuse them first at swanky hotels. Then they created a soundproofed dungeon inside an $18,000 a month penthouse near Central Park.
Dude.
And so this is the disturbing part of it is that...
No, this is?
Well, when you get to the point of the relationship when they have moved operations to the sex dungeon, which is in a penthouse. It's not in a dungeon. It's on the top floor of a high rise.
Let's welcome Bob's daughter who just sat down to... what timing?
She's an adult. She's an adult.
She can handle it.
So when this... They have this operation down to clockwork at this point.
Yeah.
And she's always bringing in new girls for Howard to have his way with. And they would exchange emails on his company email.
With the women?
No, with his personal assistant, Jennifer Powers.
Okay. All right.
And so in 2014... one of the alleged victims told Rubin that she would take plenty of Valium to make it through the session, saying she was desperate for money and in a really tough spot. And so he was bragging to Jennifer about this, about how good job. Like, she was really, really desperate. So you picked a good one. Another one that the... there was a woman who hated to be submissive, but she broke, and she says she'll do anything.
So these women at first were reported, Gordon, I think I heard you say, and I know we did it too, but they were maybe Playboy models?
Some of them had been, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is he finding these models that had fallen on hard times? Is this kind of like the Epstein thing where he was finding girls, young girls who didn't have parents or maybe ran away or something like that? Is it like that? Like they're really down on their luck?
Yeah, I mean, I guess on the opposite end of their career arc, that he's not interested in girls that are... Rubin is not interested in girls that are underage. He's interested in girls because he was 60 to 70 as these were going on. So he's looking for adult women, but he's looking for adult women that are so desperate they will go along with pretty much anything. And even if they don't, he asks for their safe word, and then he completely ignores
it.
But then... The one, and this is the last thing that I will share, and then we can have rant table talk. But the last email that Corby actually referenced this the other night, and it does include the device that Gordon just talked about, the cross. What kind of cross was it?
St. Andrew's cross? I'm just totally guessing. I don't know
I can't remember which saint it was asked for. It was named after.
I just don't think that particular
dungeon.
Saint meant for that to be a device.
So he tells her, he tells his assistant, Jennifer Powers, in email that he had the woman tied up to the cross and did lots of things to her. And so Jennifer emailed back, "I can only imagine what you did to her on that cross. Did you shock her pee?" And then Rubin replied that he had, but he bemoaned the fact that the electrocution device was losing its charge.
That's definitely going to be the place in the court hearing where they make her read it.
Right. Yes.
And she can't get through it. She's
and
crying.
What did you mean when you said, did you shock her pee?
Okay, so, Gordon, do you think...
Let's turn it to Gordon now.
Do you think that maybe she was involved in this? Because what was the first... Was she the personal assistant of Howard Rubin when basically it was, hey, I need you to schedule my appointments, I need you to pick up my dog, I need you to do things that personal assistants do? Or do you think that they met in a sexual manner, and this kind of blossomed through that.
I have no idea, but I'll go ahead and speculate wildly.
Please. Thank you.
I think that she was probably a regular personal assistant. It was pick up my dry cleaning, pick up a framing hammer, and pick up a St. Andrew's cross, and I'll explain it all later.
Okay. How do you, once she's picking up the St. Andrew's cross or whatever, the cattle prod or whatever it is,
yeah,
then do you say, we probably should talk? Because obviously he wants her to go to the next level and be his personal assistant in building this sex dungeon. Was the dungeon already built?
No, I think she had a hand in helping build it.
Yeah, she designed it and got this thing built for him, from what I understand from those indictment documents. You know, it's interesting, though, that I actually revised my opinion because, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell, mm-hmm. I think, started doing this for Epstein because they were originally romantically involved.
Right.
It's hard for me to understand, I guess, how a personal assistant could start doing this without having a natural interest in the guy, but maybe it's a money thing. Maybe just so much money to be made.
She's getting money whipped. She has this incredible lifestyle where she gets to go on vacations at exotic places. She has her house paid for. She has all her credit card bills paid for. Her kid's school is paid for. So,
and then do you think her husband was in on all of this? Like, he knew everything?
Have you seen him?
He had to have.
Yeah, I have seen him. Go on.
The uncertain DJ. We don't know where he's from.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I think that how uncomfortable that is. The kids, I think, are small, so maybe they don't know anything that's going on right now. But eventually they're going
to. They have the excuse of we're just trying to provide the best life we can for our kids.
At the expense of women being shocked on a cross.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the kids will have a great education, but it'll be the education that Shocked P built.
Do we know?
Thank you, Gordon.
Do you guys think that we'll ever see the inside of the sex dungeon?
Oh.
TMZ will probably get their hands on pictures from the trial. They'll be in evidence. And does the shocking device, does it recharge by like USB?
Dude, I'm telling you right now, as much as we're focusing on the shocking device, I guarantee you that is not the most shocking of things that were in there. No,
wasn't there a detail about a pool cue?
Yeah, yes. And I mean, I think that this guy was so warped that there were a million different things in there. You know, it looks like there's no telling what was
a lava
there.
Lamp that's Let's painted just, matte black.
Leave it at that. And
I mean, it
and
would
she
be.
Has to go in there every single time afterwards to clean up,
hose it down.
Surely she hires that out. She's not on her hands and knees with Clorox wipes.
Well, and that's the other thing is this just a two person operation? I think it probably was.
Yeah, you got to keep the circle small when you're dealing with this kind of stuff.
And he had to find somebody that he trusted implicitly.
So maybe she is doing the cleaning.
I think so. You're not going to hire a maid.
The crew is going to ask, "What is this room?
Right? What's going on?
Why is there an upside down
cross?" But having those rooms is not illegal. I mean,
no. But I think if you hired someone to come in and air quote clean it up, and if it was like really crazy stuff in there, word would get out. Somebody would speak. And so I bet you this was exactly as they described in the filing, that she would go up there after these events and clean up herself. Clean up the room herself.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't wait for the full inventory of the sex dungeon to come out and for George to go down line by line. And
say, use we'll have one. To do a dramatic reading with a British accent. He wants the whole nine yards, or nine meters, I should say.
Has he set up a war room to sort of follow this case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's on the phone constantly. He's got multiple TVs going.
Yeah. He looks like a he's casing a murder.
Beautiful mind.
Yeah, he's got a burner Insta. to try and track down all of the victims and follow them.
Just
all over the country. Just keep spinning the yarn around the thumbtacks.
Just a bank of monitors to fully follow everything.
Yeah. By the way, she's surprisingly good looking.
Yeah, you know, I take back my earlier comments that she is not trafficable.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Jeez.
Wait, who is this now?
The main lady.
Jennifer Powers.
Yeah.
Jennifer Powers.
The former Southlake substitute teacher, that if she came into your classroom, it would be like Van Halen video.
Yeah. You would think something's going on. And you said she has smaller kids. I don't remember reading that. Are they like 8, 9, or are they real small? Because she's 40-something, right?
Yeah, I thought that they were under 10 or so.
Okay,
get a good picture of her. Where are you guys seeing these pictures?
They were in The Guardian and the New York papers.
Yeah, there's lots more pictures today. If you look at the New York Post, they've put up a bunch because of the hearings that were yesterday in Manhattan.
But at what point, if you are the children, when will they learn? Because they know something's going on right now. Clearly. Mom's wearing a weird ankle bracelet, and people aren't being friendly to...
Oh, it's just my new jewelry. Do you like it? I'm going to be bedazzling.
Do they not know until the trial? Do they not know until they're 12 when they start really understanding that, God, Mom went to prison? Right? Like...
That's a tough scene.
I think they must know something already. I mean, you got to tell them that the reason why their world has been turned upside down because Mom's having to go to court dates and everything, so they've had to explain something in a very limited manner to the kids.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't bring the kids to court with them in New York, so somebody's back in South Lake watching the kids.
Or maybe she brought the kids to clean the fun room.
Okay.
Off.
They got to learn the value of chores. Even though I never did.
Is chores with a K?
No, honey, that's not bubblegum.
And then they sit there and giggle.
And they giggle. All right, Gordon. Well,
all right.
Everybody don't listen or watch Twitch.
Don't tune into Twitch tonight.
Next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Next Tuesday on Twitch.
Tomorrow at 6:15, listen to the story of the raccoon.
Yes.
Indeed, yes. The dramatic ending to the raccoon story.
In fact, I heard the raccoon will be joining us.
There's a very good chance.
Very good chance of that.
All right, dude. We love you. We'll talk to you here soon.
All right, bye.
Bye, Gordon.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Gordon Keith of the Musers.